Hey, I want to thank everyone for being here. Just so you know where this is kind of born out of, one of the many things I realized during the sabbatical was that I generally do a really poor job of leading. It's not one of my strengths, but it's something that God has called me to. So that is really why we're here, and you have to blame God for that. Or if you don't want to blame God, then you can blame the elders because they sent me on the sabbatical. So one of the reasons I want to have you all here is because I want to say thank you. I don't think that I have said thank you enough to the people who work at our church, and very particularly for those who are in leadership positions at the church. So let me just say that to you. Thank you. In the leadership positions that you're in, you work harder and you do more than a lot of people. You don't just show up. Things happen at the church because you do what you do. This church runs pretty smooth because you do what you do. And so I just want to say thank you. Jeff, thank you. And Charlotte, thank you. Without those two doing what they do, I would be in a pickle. Each and every one of the small group leaders, thank you so much. 94 people we had in small groups during the last series, if you include the kids zone and the teen kids, because we have roughly 100, maybe 110 people here on a Sunday morning, and most of, percentage-wise, most people were connected with a small group, so. Some of you were double dipping, but that's okay. So thank you to the small group leaders. Our treasurers, thank you so much to all three of those guys. I know that Bill and Kathy aren't here. Our deaconesses, I can't thank you enough. I know what you do, and you make the church look really good. So elders, the same thing. I have four absolutely wonderful elders. We are enjoying our meetings, and a lot of that's because I've come back from the sabbatical a very different person. I apologize to Doug that you can't be with us laughing our heads off sometimes. All right, we have a great administrative board, so thank you for the administrative board people and the deacons. When things come up, I'm really impressed how quickly you guys kind of respond to things, and that's really cool. So, and I could go on, but and here's the next statement I want to make to you, and I don't know if you're ready to engage with that statement or not. You are leaders. So if any of you are still kind of struggling with that you are a leader at Lakeview Chapel, here at in one of God's local churches, you are a leader. And I don't know if you see yourself that way or not. I don't know if you just see yourself as someone who's just doing the job that you're called to do, but one of my encouragements today is that you engage with the fact that you are a leader. And as a leader, the whole drum major thing, as silly as that was, there is a very true statement to the drum major story, is that if no one is following you, that doesn't mean that you're not a leader. That means that you're not being a leader, okay? Because you are leaders. God has called you to that. And I know that you have excuses, and I had the top 10 excuses up there. These are some of Moses' excuses to why he didn't think he should be a leader. So you feel free to take your excuses and give them to God, because God took every single one of Moses' excuses and threw it back in his face, or at least explained to him how that wasn't going to get him out of the job. So I'm not good enough. Like Moses killed a dude and ran away from what he was supposed to be doing, right? So I'm not a leader. He told God, who's going to follow me? Who's going to, what do I do when I get there and I talk to Pharaoh and he kind of laughs at me? I don't know how to do these things. I can't talk. That was one of the things that Moses said. Do any of you ever feel like you don't know what you're going to say when you get into a situation? Like if I can't talk, I don't know what to say. they won't listen. None of those are disqualifying things to you being leaders at Lakeview Chapel. Here's a good thing to understand. There were two things that made Moses a leader, right? God said, you're a leader. Okay? God appointed him to be a leader. And if you're here today, it's because you've been appointed to be a leader, whether you want to accept that or not. You have been appointed to be a leader in some capacity. And then two, he stepped by faith with all the excuses that he had and everything, and he said, I'm going to embrace, I'm going to do, I don't know how it's going to go. I certainly hope when I throw this stick down, it doesn't stay a stick, or I'm going to feel very foolish, right? Can you imagine the first time Moses threw the stick down to the ground because God told him to throw the stick down to the ground? It's like, I hope this works this time. It's like, you know? So he stepped by faith into what it meant to be a leader. And God will not leave you alone when you do that. And so that is it. That's why Moses is a leader. He didn't have any skills to be a leader. I mean, today's passage, if you don't think Moses didn't have the skills to be a leader, today's passage was a great one to engage with. Moses had no idea what it meant to be a leader. He just knew that God had called him to it, and he went in the direction that he was pointed. Because of that, I mean, even without the skills, God sent what he needed. He was able to get the help. He was not always a good leader. You know, he was, I think that what we saw today, Moses listening to Jethro, I don't think that all of a sudden Moses became a great leader. I think that he still did a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. I think that he was still really overburdened. I think he was still tired. I think that that probably played into why he smacked the rock with his staff twice when he was just supposed to speak to it. It was out of anger, and he was probably tired. All those things that happen to us as leaders, particularly when we step beyond what God has called us to and start doing other people's jobs too. And then he wasn't allowed to lead them across the river. Imagine leading them around the desert for 40 years and then realizing you get to be the last Israelite that gets to die before they go into the promised land. I mean, I hope, yeah. So God, in all of his excuses, the one thing God never said to him is you don't have to lead. I had no idea that's who you were. You should have spoke up before I appointed you. It wasn't what God said. So we have to be, this is a statement here. It is not good to do it alone, that we have to fall in love with. It is not good when I try and do stuff alone here at Lakeview Chapel. It is not good. I'm learning all the implications of that. Like, for instance, I set up tables and I set this up this morning. Now, I don't know if they had someone else coming to set up tables, but I also woke up at 1:30 in the morning and I couldn't get back to sleep last night. But I'm thinking I'm setting this up. It's like, I'm doing this whole leadership thing to encourage people to partner with other people when they're doing their stuff, and here I am setting it. This is something. So I can just freely admit when I'm talking to everyone today, I got a lot of work still to do. You know, I still have a lot of work to do. You have to think ahead. You have to plan. You can't do everything last minute. Those are all things that I strive at. God has given me some skills in life, and procrastination, is that big word that you're going to? Yeah, so procrastination is one of those things, and I'm getting better at that, but I still struggle. So this isn't something as I look at each and one of you and say, you've got a leadership role to play here. What I'm not saying is that you're going to do well at it, particularly if you're just embracing it for the first time. But taking that step of faith into that position is huge. So, here are a couple things from the Sabbatical Insight series that I have to, and I'm still grappling with as I'm trying to learn how to lead you better. I was focusing highly on having a great ministry and not pouring myself into people. And that's one of the reasons why I really hope this is an annual thing that we do, where we talk about some aspect of leadership with the leaders at the church and encourage one and be encouraged that we're in this together and that we all have a lot of room to grow. Some of you probably could do this better than I could do this. And so maybe that's part of what, you know, working together means in the future. So focus on pouring yourselves into people and not just having a great fellowship ministry or a great, you know, it'd be better to have a less than par dinner that many people are working on than a perfect dinner and one tired person at the end of it. Amen, Kelly?
Amen.
Amen. As I asked Kelly to, I said, Kelly, we're doing a leadership luncheon, and I want you to be there, but we also need food. And at the luncheon, we're going to be talking about leading other people in our ministries and making sure we're not just people who are doing it well ourselves. So I need you to come to the meeting but not and arrange the food, but not do any work. And she has had such a hard time today. Because you know what? Many of us are where we're at today in a leadership position because we're really good at what we do. Right? Isn't that what happens? We elevate people who are excellent at what they do into leadership positions. What that really ignores is the fact that those people are good at what they do. They're doers. They're not necessarily people who think like leaders. So if there's a job that needs to get done, we do it. Right? We just do it. But that, you have been called beyond that. It's not that you'll never be doers, you're not doers anymore, but now God has a larger role for you, and that's looking around you and saying, I know how to do this well. I now need to know how to, I need to learn a new skill, and that's helping to show other people how to do this well. Because what was true for Moses, and that it's not just you that gets tired out. It's the people around you that get tired out too. They get tired of watching you do all the work and them not doing anything, so they don't show up to the next work day. You know? That's one of the things we've struggled a little bit with the facility management team over the last couple of years, and partly is because we had a group of people in there several years ago, and I never stopped leading. And I drove several of them away who don't want to be involved with the facility management around here in an official capacity. They'll still help, but they don't trust the fact that I know how to keep my dirty, rotten little paws out of things, right? Because I know how to do facility management. I don't know how to manage. I know how to fix things. Thank you. I know how to fix things. I have no idea how to lead other people in fixing things. Because I look at you and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. Here, let me show you how to do that, right? As a matter of fact, why don't you just stand back there and watch from a distance? And so this is a huge, huge struggle for me. And I know it is for many of you, too, because I've had those discussions with you. It is much easier sometimes to do all those top 10 things that I had talked about. So that was the second thing. I often didn't believe other people could do things as well as I could do. And that's something that I need to, that's a pride issue. I understand. I used to be proud that I could do those things well. And then I realized, oh, it's also a pride issue. And that, you know, the fact that somehow God has made it so I know how to do this and other people couldn't learn it. I didn't clearly define my role. And that's a good thing to do. If you are in charge of a group here at Lakeview Chapel, or if you're in one of the key leadership positions in terms of deacon, deaconess, elder, it'd be good to define your role and to make sure that in that role, part of it is pouring into other people. Part of your role is being defined as pouring into other people. It has to be a part of what you do. And so I understand that one of my main roles is at this point, and I'm trying to learn how to do it better, is to pour into other people and in the words of Ephesians, to equip the saints, you know, to equip other people to do the work of the church instead of me being the person to do that. And not everyone really wants that of the church. And I'm not just talking about us as leaders, but also a lot of people really want whoever the leader is. That's who they want to have work with them or minister to them. And so it's also something that has to be changed in just the traditional understanding of the church is that it is good when the pastor doesn't show up all the time. It really is. It's good when the pastor doesn't pray all the time. Do not wait for me to pray. If you need to wait for me to pray for something, it better be really, really, really important. And if it's really, really important, it's probably too important to wait for me. Understand that? Right? I mean, we have capable people. We have two key prayers in our two main prayers when we get to prayer in our small group. And one of them wasn't there this past week. And so I just said, you know what, usually myself and this other person are the people who pray for the most part, but he's not here. I just really want to encourage. And we all prayed. I mean, not all, but a number more people prayed in our small group this past week than had before. And I tell you, it was such a blessing. It was so much better than it was. It's good when everyone is involved. Everyone in the ministry is involved. And is encouraged to be there. Thank you for praying today, by the way. If you're a perfectionist, you're going to struggle as a leader. That was one of the things that I struggled with. And it may just be a perfectionist in your particular area. And that usually is people who are really good at doing things are kind of perfectionists. And when you're really good at and you're a perfectionist at things, sometimes it's really hard to release that. You know, because you're so pent up. And if you're a type A personality like I am, then it's kind of. And then I also realized that, and what I'm doing right now, this is a great time to make this statement, I talk way too much. Right? Instead of asking questions, instead of really trying to draw people out, instead of trying to understand how much the other person already knows or how they see things differently and encourage that. So those are some of the things. But to fall in love with the statement, it is not good when we do it alone, when I do it alone. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. So, and that leads to the next thing is that we have to choose to equip people. It has to be something that we're going to say, we are going to start equipping people. We're not going to do it alone. And here's the thing. As soon as you make the decision to equip people rather than just to be doing stuff yourself, a couple things are going to happen and you're going to hate every bit of it. Right? Things are going to get worse. Because whoever you're teaching how to do it doesn't know how to do it as you, as good as you. Right? It's just, if they did, they'd be teaching you. Right? It's going to take longer. If we're going to make this transition away from us doing things to working with other people, it's going to take longer. And we just have to accept that ministry, which used to maybe getting this thing done in 45 minutes a week may take an hour a week now, or even longer. It will be more difficult because you know what? In the short run, sometimes it really is easier just to do it yourself. But that's not what a leader is called to do. It is so much easier. Moses knew all the laws that he had to teach or that he had to judge people on. For that case, it was so much easier for him just to sit down and to judge that case. But if you have to teach someone and train them and have them watch you do it and then have them do it and you watch them and then have the conversations about that and all that stuff, it takes time. But that's only just at the beginning. It will require you to grow. From wherever we are at right now, collectively of leaders, we have to grow. If this is going to become a part of the fabric of Lakeview Chapel. And I think for us to move into what I feel God is calling us to as a church, we have to grow in this area. This is one of the main areas that we have to grow in. And I'm at the top of the list in terms of people who need to embrace this and grab it and grow there. So I'm with you with this. And it will take more patience than if you're just doing it by yourself. Some of you have not had the pleasure of being parents yet, but only a few of you. So
like when you're teaching kids to mow the yard and they leave that strip
Oh, doesn't it drive you crazy? Oh, my goodness. It's like, oh. And then you got to come back, and you have to see that, and you have to say encouraging words. And you realize that you don't want to be a liar, so you have to find an honest way to say encouraging words. It's hard. Gosh, we've just, Clayton's our last who has learned how to drive. And if you, you know, it's the same thing. It's kind of like, great job today, Clayton. You know, and there was lots of good, there was, hey, we're home. There's no dents in the car. It was a great job, right? But yeah, so, and you know what? That was a couple weeks ago, or that was a couple months ago, and he's doing great now. I mean, he's fine. He's like, I mean, if all the people in the house, he's the only one who aced that driving test. No one else in the house, both Patty and I, or any of the kids, aced that driving test. So it's like, well, maybe you should be teaching me. I don't know. So, but it will be the best thing you choose to do. If you embrace the leadership thing, it will be better than you doing it yourself. It will be better. It will be better, and for the reasons that we saw this morning, is that Moses won't be wearing himself out, so you won't be wearing yourself out nearly as much. And then also, other people won't be worn out. Okay? Those are two things from this morning. Other people will be empowered to do things. So, like, what happens when you're gone for a couple weeks? You don't even begin to worry about it. You don't even begin to worry about it because other people are equipped to do that. You don't even think about it. Kelly comes back. Let's just say you went overseas and you came back with some, I don't know, really strange disease from another country. Let's just say that happened to you, Kelly, just in case. Careful when you go to India, right? So, you know, so if you're out of commission for a couple months, guess what? You don't have to worry about it. And I don't know, I'm sure she didn't worry about it anyways because she is surrounded by wonderful people, but it will be the best thing. You will grow. You will grow. You will grow. And in another several years, you'll be encouraged, you know, as you are leading other people and encouraging them and bringing more people into doing the work, you're also modeling to them what it means to be a leader. So other people will grow. And they won't just grow in the primary thing that you're teaching them. They will also grow in the understanding of what it means leadership to be. You will grow the church. Because I really think that there's this axiom in organizations that the water only rises as high as the leader, right? So, and that's true of each and every subset within the organization as well. And I believe that I've been part of our cap, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm not our cap anymore. And same thing for any of you who have been primarily, as you have engaged in the leadership position that you're in, as you have engaged in that, to the extent that you haven't embraced community involvement and other people being involved and being taught and released to do significant ministry, you have been a part of that leadership cap. Kelly?
I just have a question for you. If you're the cap, does that mean we all start to use our hair?
Well, you're short enough, so you don't, Kelly. I outgrew my hair. I don't think we're worrying about that with you and Carl. Another thing about leadership: never, never make fun of people. Especially the guy up front. Especially the guy with the microphone. He does. So the other thing, and especially at yourself. So, the other thing is that it will grow the kingdom. It will grow the kingdom, as people remain engaged in the church, and they, part of the reason that they love the church is because of what they're doing for the church. When when you get engaged with the church on that level, you want other people to be involved with the church. If you're just showing up and you don't feel that's your church, it's just the church that you attend, there's a different level of how much you want other people to be a part of the kingdom and how much you would invite someone into the church. If you're sitting back frustrated because someone else isn't letting you do things and you know you got skills, you know you could do this, you're like grumbling internally about that. And that is a part of what the whole point of this morning's narrative was that was happening with the people. So we need to choose to equip people. This is out of Ephesians. I didn't share this morning, but it was he, meaning it was God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's work, people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So some of you are going to look here and say, well, I don't feel like I'm, you know, that's you. I don't feel the evangelist is me. I'm certainly don't call me a apostle. Whenever I think something's going to happen, it doesn't happen. But here, Paul is referring to the leadership in the early church, and I believe that you are a part of that. And so if the only thing you could say is that you're a teacher, and that probably is talking about teacher, like elder kind of teacher, but the focus has to be for the leadership in the church that we are preparing other people for the works of service. And I don't know if it's, you know, and I also believe that, you know, in terms of evangelists, who is the evangelist? I don't think that's saying, oh, these evangelists are teaching other evangelists. Part of the work of the church in terms of prayer is bringing people into the kingdom and sharing that. So, yes. So, a couple things. I shared these things this morning. I encourage each of you with whatever ministry that you're involved with leadership in is to really know what it is that you do. Okay? Know what you do. So know how it connects to the big picture. You should be celebrating all the time. Whenever you're meeting with other workers, other people who you're doing, you should always celebrate what this is doing. You're preparing food, celebrate what it's doing. If there's a work day at the church, celebrate what that's doing. As your deacons are praying for someone that you're you know, celebrate and pray specifically for how that helps them know God better and how your involvement with them is helping them in terms of fellowship. You know, hopefully we as elders are doing that all. As, you know, I mentioned greeters this morning in terms of really kind of celebrating that's a significant thing, that people feel very welcomed. And I tell you what, people feel really, really, I'm always encouraged by people and their feeling how they were welcomed at Lakeview Chapel for the first time, right? It is significant. It is significant because it isn't just Lakeview Chapel. This could have been the fourth or fifth church that they've tried. And you know, at some point, people, you just give up. You know, it's like, okay, they really are as awful as some people say they are. All those believers, they're not friendly, they're not whatever, blah blah blah. And so, you know, it is significant when people come into the church. So know how it connects in with a big goal. You as leaders, if other people are going to be brought in and encouraged to do the work, when I was talking about that one sentence kind of summary, this is what we do. You know, it's kind of like the battlefield plan that when all else fails, do this, right? When all else fails, if you can remember this one statement, you can still be successful. So, you know, if it's a small group, and we've had a wonderful experience with our small group that started up during the last series, for some personal reasons, Patty and I thought we would try to get another couple involved as the host group, and all of a sudden I'm just loving this because there's another couple, Dawn and Dave Jarls, who are hosting the group, and I'm technically leading the group. Okay, so So they don't have to worry. They don't have to, I mean, they just worry about hosting it. Don's been involved with getting some other people helping with the actual food. And all of a sudden, it's a full, you know, it's people feel like there's a part that they're playing it. And that's a really good thing. And the other great thing is, and this needs to happen too, I need to not be the only person who leads the group. So every once in a while, have someone else lead the group. Because all of a sudden, if I'm not there, have you ever had something when the leader doesn't show up, no one shows up? I don't know if that's our vision for small groups, right? You know, that's like if I couldn't be here on Sunday morning, let's just stop church, right? We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that goes. So, but know what the task is. And I would say for small groups, like, you know, it's to fellowship. I would say fellowship is the main thing. So we do deep biblical study here. We do it on at our small groups too, but I would say if there was one main thing with small groups is that meaningful fellowship happens with that small group. That is the most important thing. And we do that around God's word. But if for some reason you're just getting together and watching a movie or having a barbecue or, you know, here's an idea, a black tie Barbie. A black tie barbecue, right? No. We've been tentatively invited to a black tie barbecue with some other pastors from the area. It's like, that ought to be kind of interesting, huh? I don't know if you can get the, can you get barbecue stains out of the white or
t-shirt?
That's right. So be able to simplify things, but then also just, you know, one of the things that, like, we haven't done in terms of our treasurer positions, okay, is that we really don't have a good list of what they do and how that procedure happens. And that's something that we need to overcome. Go ahead.
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet. So, you know, because we've talked about this as we've gone and thought about trying to, you were just kind of thrown into a cold fish tank. You know, it's like, here, you're the treasurer, boom. And there was a little bit, but I would like for our next transition to be something where there's a little bit smoother transition so that it's not quite so hard on the incoming person. And that involves knowing a lot of detailed stuff. And that's true of any of our ministries. And some of those ministries, it is a very rough transition when one person isn't there and the next person comes in. Because the actual details are all kept in our minds, or if it's like me, sometimes you're a little frantic all the time, so it really is last minute making it up by the seat of your pants sometimes stuff that's going on. And don't laugh, honey. Of all the people, you shouldn't be the one laughing right now. So really thinking about what it is that we do with our ministries. Let me say this. Elders, we should not be doing what we do alone. We should be bringing other people along with us when we do some of the key stuff with eldership. We're starting to think that way. You noticed last week that Dave Jacobson prayed, if you were here, Dave prayed. That was because of an elder discussion that we had where we realized, you know, it shouldn't just be us elders up there praying. So any elder at the church who is, and this is why, Doug, your name wasn't listed today. So now you want to know why you're nameless, right? It's because we are encouraging, as elders, we are trying to encourage inviting other people in to pray instead of us praying. So when you're the elder up that week, you can either pray or you can invite someone who you feel and we trust each other's judgment to pray. That's a part of the trying to expand leadership and encourage other people to step into roles. Deacons, sometimes you guys are organizing work stuff, right? Make it your goal to involve as many other people as possible. And deaconesses, same way. We have how many deaconesses? I think five or six deaconesses. The point of our deaconess ministry is not that the deaconesses do all the work. You guys do an amazing amount of work. But I would encourage you to start thinking, can I take someone along with me when I do this? I'll make sure that they have food. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it, nor does it mean that you have to call another deaconess to do it. There are a plethora of amazing cooks at this church, and not all of them are female. Right, Rob? I mean, Rob does, you do most of the cooking at your house, right? Yeah, well, whatever it is. I mean, you could make it an excuse that you want, but, you know, so make it your goal. You know, visit. I'm not good at visitation. Some of you figure that out. Some of you just think I don't like you. But I'm learning that a phone call to someone else is sometimes the best thing that I can do. The best thing that I can do when I know someone needs to get visited. And Susie was blessed so much, Doug and Mabel, a couple weeks ago when you stopped in to see her. She called me to tell me about your visit because she was... Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Well, I didn't tell you that?
No.
That little part? Why? That's why I didn't want to go. No. Yeah. Know that if I call you, it's probably no. It's just kidding. You know, at that it's so important. Susie was blessed. I'm in touch with her anyways with stuff. See, all of a sudden another family has come and on a day where I wasn't able to visit, but I knew she was in the hospital. That's better. That's better. And so whatever it is that you're called to, you know, understand that you don't have to do it alone. If you're leading a ministry. And this is like with the greeters and with Kelly. If you're leading a ministry and there are any of the youth ministries and there are many people under you, okay, communication is so important. We have to be able to communicate. That's a part of the procedure thing, right? This is our expectations. We need to be here at this time. You know, Patty has started doing a leaders meeting, and they always did leaders meetings the first week of the month. And I said, and she realized, oh, let's change this to the last week of the month because every month they have a new theme. And so they talk about all the new theme for the month. And so that little change there made all the difference, particularly in the first week of the month. But, communication, regular communication with things is absolutely huge. Other people cannot do and engage unless they know what your expectations are. So communicate well, communicate often. If you are leading and you're not a good communicator, that's not an excuse. God would throw that, he would tell you to go read Exodus, actually, I think. Go study Moses because I didn't listen to him either, and he made it in the Bible. And so, do the skill thing, and then at some point this is the hard part, right? We have to release other people to do things, and if you're a perfectionist, this is one of the hardest things you will ever do. But we have to release other people into doing whatever it is. My first set of dovetails wasn't pretty, but at some point I had to start cutting them. And you know what? The first time someone sits at the door. And has to welcome a stranger, like, oh, this person doesn't go to our church. I've never seen them before. They're going to think, oh, and they'll probably say the wrong thing. Yeah, it's just what it is. God's grace covers all of this. And first time you have someone else lead your small group for you, guess what? They're going to be nervous, and you're going to probably think, that was a bad idea, but it wasn't, because the next time they'll do it a little better, and that's the only way that we grow, is by being engaged in this. So release the authority to them. Make sure they know what the boundaries are. So follow up, encourage them. Think about team, right? Think team, think team, think team. Whenever you're involved, understand that how do we do this together? How do we do this together? And you know what one of the best things is for a leader? Is to not to be needed. To not be needed. That means that you've done a good job. A leader has done their job when they're not completely needed. Right? You kind of set the vision stuff and you could step away. And so if you want to know if you're doing a good job, know if things can happen without you there. And that means that you've released authority in the past and they've learned as they were with you and you were with them, and then all of a sudden they're not there. So before we leave, I just want a couple people to share how you might be able to do leadership a little bit differently. How can you lead in your role, whatever it is, in such a way that others will be empowered to work and to be future leaders? So just a couple quick popcorn things, and then I'm going to pray and we're going to go.
Communication.
You have to communicate. Penny is not with us today, but she is jumping up in heaven and cheering right now. Go Carl. She's your biggest cheerleader. Good. So communicate. Yep. And what is that going to do for other people? Can't read your mind. No, particularly yours, because it's going so many different directions. So, anyone else? So, I tell you what, amen. She walked over to me like this. I said, how are you doing? She says, not very good. Anyone else?
I just have a small group with a few women, and there's not a lot that...
Can I stop you for a moment? Say that again. You have to remove the word just. What do you mean just a small group with a few women? Yeah. Calling someone and saying, would you be willing to call the other people in the group and let them know this? Right? Huge.
It's
huge.
It's
huge.
Yeah,
it's,
but I mean, it's a small thing for them to do. It's not overwhelming. It's not a huge job that they often go. Because they don't always want to lead, but to even just communicate.
Anyone a Doctor Who fan? It's just like the TARDIS. It's small, but it's bigger on the inside. There you go. Okay. No, yes. blame who? Yeah, who? Anyone else?
Recognize that other people may do things in a very different way than you do, and it's still okay. That used to frustrate me years ago. I worked with somebody who was a procrastinator, and I just kept nagging at her. Have you done this yet? And you know, she said, I'll take care of it. And I mean, I fretted and I worried, and I lost a lot of sleep over it. And when the time came, she had it done.
Yeah.
Not my way of doing things, but she had it done. And I learned from that. I really learned from that. Just back off and let them do it.
Do you realize that part of learning is failing? Sometimes you have to let people fail and then come in and say, how'd that go? Oh, it's not done. So how can we work on this differently? And not be mad, but just saying, I remember the first time I tried to do that, it was 3 weeks late. So let's not work, this is maybe a couple of things I've learned or something. But sometimes you have to let them fail. Sometimes they do it, exactly. It's like, just keep my hands off it, things will be fine. So. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And that's true for every, whatever it is that you're involved with. So.
I don't know if anyone else has a situation like mine, but I'm realizing that I have all these things just stuck in my head, the passwords to those websites where I need to get stuff, which files I download, which files go with Junior Church, which files go with Kids Zone, which ones we use for this age group, which ones we use for... What do I print out every month? What do I leave? You know, it's all like secret stuff. And so I need to make a, I don't know who I'd give it to, but at least need to print it all out and post it somewhere or file it somewhere so that if I get sick again like I did at Easter, I can just say, go there and you know how to get in and this has been what you need to print out for this week.
Yeah.
So that's not.
That's a part of knowing what you do and actually to the point of writing it down. Good. No. Simple, maybe, but. Yeah. 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 It is. It is. But it is a part. If you have to train someone cross-handed, you really have to know what you're doing. More than just, I move my hand like this. You have to know why you move your hand like that, you know, because the other person is going to have to do it completely differently. It's because I'm trying to get to that button or whatever. So,
yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, one more and then I'm going to pray for us all. Anyone?
I thought it was always more direct to tell them that that's not the way to do it. I always thought that out.
Well, yeah, so you're right. I honestly, you're right. That is the more direct way to do it. And it usually gets people directly out of the ministry. Directly out of your small group. Very direct.
Oh, yeah, so. You're getting to the edge of this boundary and you have to sit down and be willing to take the risk.
Yes.
Clearly, this is why we don't go there.
Yes. And so I was talking with someone this morning. There are, depending on what the ministry is you're involved with, what the boundary is, can be really wide. Sometimes it's really narrow, you know. We don't want to give people in nuclear subs width of freedom. However you want to get that job done, right? Just make sure at the end of the day that it stays below, you know, 500 degrees in the reaction chamber or whatever it is. But with some of the stuff we do, let's be honest, there's a lot of breadth to it. And there's a lot of variety that can happen there. So there is some discernment in there. That you're absolutely right. That's good. So,
I've actually had to learn that lesson myself at work. Cause I was the kind of person where if you were doing it wrong, I'm just going to be straight up doing it wrong. But I found that's been a struggle to say, well, maybe we should look at it this way or ask thought provoking questions to try to steer in the right direction.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just my thing about asking questions rather than making statements. Sometimes just asking questions there. Statements are very offensive. Asking questions that they can answer however they want, you're getting the same thing done. They're discovering it themselves, and they're not feeling attacked, right? So.
Kids, you have the yellow line drivers and the white line drivers. But the white line drivers are real close to the bridges. So.
Stay on the road. Stay on the road. Hey, Lord, speaking of roads, we want to get on there and get back to your beautiful day. So I thank you for, particularly for the people who helped make lunch possible. I thank you for each and every person who is here, who is in a leadership position. God, would you bless them and encourage them and make them people who can replicate themselves in other people and not be the Moses that is trying to do the job themselves and feeling like you're the only person who can do that job, but is willing to slow down. Make us be people willing to slow down and pour into other people and have that be our main or one of our main roles that we define for ourselves in what you've given us to do here at Lakeview Chapel. Thank you for making us leaders. And God, I thank you personally as a pastor here for surrounding me with such wonderful people. And we just pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This is just going to get picked up quick.